want to know what prayer means to people of different religions.
Aren't we more alike than we are different?
There's so much to learn about my neighbor's faith and what matters to her.
But where do I start?
Bringing people of different religious backgrounds together to share their beliefs, what inspires them, their stories. This is People of Faith with Carol Makeda on Utah's new AM 820. Now, here's your host, Carol Makeda.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this week. My special guests are Susan Deal, Sabrina Stillwell, and Irma Kibler. They are Christian Scientists. You have heard from a couple of them before in terms of interfaith roundtable connections and communication and participation, but today we thought we would spend some time exploring their specific faith of Christian Science and letting you know more about it, the history and the beliefs and the healings and how all of this works here in the state of Utah. So thanks, ladies, for being here.
Thank you.
It's good to see you all. The history of this faith, let's start with the overall view. I'm sure that probably many people have at least studied briefly in school Mary Baker Eddy, or at least aware of her. What would you like to tell us about how this faith started? Susan?
Well, sure, I'll start. Mary Baker Eddy lived in New England, grew up in New England, and for most of her life was quite ill with a variety of ailments. And she had a very curious mind and was always searching for answers, was very grateful for the loving care of the physicians who took care of her over the years. But she found she was never permanently healed. Mm-hmm. And because her family, they were Congregationalists, relied on the Bible so much, that's what she turned to in a great hour of need. She was in her mid-40s and had a severe accident on ice. We in Utah know what that could be.
I understand that, yes.
And she just read one of Jesus' accounts in the Bible of his healing and was so inspired at that moment that she literally got out of bed to the surprise of those who'd gathered to perhaps bid her farewell. Hmm. And from that moment on became quite a remarkable healer and just had to share it. She started teaching people right away how to do what Jesus had enabled us all through his writings, or through what we read in the King James Version, saying to do this as well, to go and do likewise.
We should mention, we're talking about the 19th century and then the early part of the 20th century before she passed away. Mm-hmm. She suffered so much that I think there must be something we read about people who struggle with illness or pain of some kind, who seek to know more. They really delve into that aspect of life more than I think most people. And this would appear to be what she did. Sabrina?
Yeah. I think what you talked about, that comfort. When we seem to have comfort, you know, our life is comfortable, we don't have to push. We can stay safely in our little life and not worry about it. But when there's something challenging us so intently, we're forced. It's almost like we're forced to go to God. Mm-hmm. We want to go to the source of life. How do I fit in? What is this about? You know, is this suffering just? Is this something I'm supposed to be doing? And really find out. I think in challenges in my own life, it's really trying to find my own. What is my relationship to God, and how do I fit into this? Instead of, you know, this is my life, and everything is wonderful and happy, and I'm cruising along. And mm-hmm. it does challenge you to do that, and I think it takes you in places that are so deep, because you do understand more about how loved you are by God, and who you are in relationship to God, and how you know, like Jesus, and love your neighbors. How are we connected into this, the whole life, you know, human life? How are we? What is my particular place in that? So I do think it puts you in a different place.
So at the end of the 19th century in the Boston area, Mary Baker Eddy began to have a following, and that is the beginning of what we now know as the Christian Science faith, correct?
Yeah.
And how quickly did it spread? to throughout the United States or to other countries? How large are we talking, and how quickly did it?
It came to Utah in 1888. There actually was a student of Mrs. Eddy's came out to Utah and started teaching and practicing and having groups of church meetings. And so it's been in Utah for quite a long time. Even in I live in Ogden, and the church, the building that we're in is built in 1914. So it's been around a long time. And famous Utahns were part of the faith. And it's worldwide. I think it's in 86 countries.
So we're talking about millions of people.
Yeah.
Well, and well, it's certainly 2,000 congregations. We no longer number publicly. And the reason, this happened when the church was growing in huge leaps and bounds. Mrs. Eddy could see that her followers were beginning to think, well, gee, you know, the more numbers, the more important. And she thought, no, it's the faithfulness of the follower, not the number. As in Jesus' time, it wasn't the majority of the Roman Empire that was following Jesus. It was those who had been healed or seen healings or trusted this teaching of love. I should say, too, that in defining God, as Sabrina was talking about it, Christian Scientists define God as infinite good, eternal love. We use seven synonyms to describe God and their principle, with a capital P, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. And we see God as wholly good and the creation he made as such. And what we're doing here on this little planet called Earth is purifying our concept of God and, of course, of ourselves, so that we're living more in alignment with all that goodness, all that intelligence, all that beauty, all that truth. So we work day by day. That's really what our baptism is. Sometimes people are baptized in a ceremony, and Christian Scientists see baptism as something that happens day by day as you purify your thought about yourself and others.
So there isn't a formal idea of baptism, that you seek after that idea every time you wake up and go about your day, you start.
Not much ceremony in the Christian Science Church. One of the things Mrs. Eddy said, you know, the Last Supper, which many people reverently commemorate, what she focused on was that morning meal after the resurrection, where the disciples were on the shore of Galilee and fishing and not finding anything. And she talks about that morning meal as something that Christian Scientists commemorate each day. In there, what we have is what's called a weekly Bible lesson. We study on topics throughout the year. And the expectation is that you'll study that regularly, mostly daily, and then hear that lesson that you've read as a sermon on Sunday by our pastor. The pastor actually is not a person. It's the two books, the King James Version of the Bible and her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. That's our pastor, so everybody can turn to that pastor at any point. It has no personality in it. And then those readers are elected within democratic church bodies, branches. As I said, there's about 2,000 throughout the world.
Maybe I should ask about not numbers here in Utah, but congregations or groups of Christian Scientists. Ogden, certainly I know a number here in Salt Lake.
Salt Lake, Park
Two.
City.
Two in Salt Lake, and then also in Park City.
And then one in St. George.
And also in St. George.
Yeah.
So throughout our state.
Mm-hmm.
And Irma, if you could join our conversation and talk a little bit about beliefs and doctrines. Follow up what Susan was talking about, the idea of reader. So that, what would a service be that, and is it on Sunday? And if I were to go to a service, what would I find?
Well, our services consist of two readers, a first reader and a second reader. The first reader reads from the Science and Health textbook. The second reader reads from the Bible, correlative passages. Like you said, we have 26 subjects throughout the year. We have each one of them two times. The subject, using the synonyms for God: life, truth, love, soul, spirit. We have organ music, preludes. We have hymns. our services are very simple. We pray the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have the spiritual interpretation, as Mrs. Eddy saw it. We have it in the Science and Health. It's very simple.
Tell them about Wednesday, Irma.
Wednesday, we have a testimonial meeting. We're free to stand up and express our gratitude for healings that we've had, for just inspiration that we received from our studying.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very simple, and everybody's welcome.
I'm sure there are many in the state who can relate to that idea of a testimony and talking about something that's happened specifically to you personally and spiritually. And so this is an evening gathering, and you anyone is invited at any time by inspiration, I suppose, to stand and talk about an experience.
It's not a give and take. It's just each individual stands up as mm-hmm. they feel impelled to do it. And, mm-hmm. It's such an opportunity and a privilege to be able to share our inspiration and our growth and to really see how practical Jesus' teachings are.
Terrific. We're speaking with Susan Deal, Sabrina Stilwell, Irma Kibler, Christian Scientists, and we're learning today. We'll be right back.